PPI.org.
Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. I think we're on. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everyone.
Jackson Buck is my engineer. Trustee Jackson, hello.
Hello.
And we have a couple guests on with us tonight. I want to remind you briefly that if you want to be on my email list, you may email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com, and you can find out what's coming up. You can also suggest anything you'd like to be hearing on the show pertaining to disabilities, of course. Tonight, we have Anthony Saldana. Anthony and Jason. Oh, Jason, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have you pronounce your last name.
Figuera.
Figuera. Okay, thank you. I knew I'd mess it up. Figuera. So Anthony is a producer and director of a documentary we'll be talking about. And Jason is the co-producer. And we're going to be talking about this documentary called Straight Off the Canvas. And Straight Off the Canvas is a documentary that profiles visually impaired artists, or art teachers and artists. So thank you both for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. Thank you. It is it's raining here in New York City, but it's really exciting to be on your show this evening and to be with you, Sam.
Thank you. And we have Anthony with us as well.
Yes,
Jason. Yes, you have Jason with you, right here.
Okay, all right. All right, so any phones in the background, I'm going to pretend they're not happening. Okay, so I want to start out by learning a little bit about you guys. And do either one or both of you have disabilities? And if so, would you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Announce who you are so people know.
Absolutely. This is Anthony Saldana. While I don't have a visual impairment, I had an accident almost 10 years ago. I'm kind of accident prone. The accident really affected my back and my neck. So I have some bulge disc and herniations in my neck and my lower back. And, you know, I live with unfortunate chronic pain. It's something that I've struggled with, especially early on, because I didn't realize that when you injure your back, that it's something that, you know, it's it's something that you have to do physical therapy every single day to maintain, because I do live in like a chronic pain. And so I've worked for many years to try to get it to a level where I'm comfortable with, you know. And my buddy Jason over here carries the heavy equipment, but Jason also has some issues that, and it's not funny, but the issue that I just explained to you happened when I was 26, and my buddy Jason over here had some issues around the same time that you know, I had my accident, and Jason could tell you more about his issue.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do have a disability. It's a mental disorder called obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm-hmm. And like Anthony had said, I had lived with it my entire life, but it didn't become a disorder until I was 26. So I do live with a mental disorder, and you know, it's not easy. It can be challenging sometimes, but other times, you know, it's not so bad. So I have my good days and my bad days, but you know, for someone with a physical disability, you know, this film really provided an insight for me, you know, to understand what it is to have someone who is physically disabled, you know.
So I'm curious, Jason, when I think of obsessive compulsive, I think of somebody who's like doing something over and over and over till it's perfect. That's just one of the things. Is that really true? Or is that just a...
it's basically you're doing something over and over again, and you know it's not going to really do anything for you, but it's just to manage your anxiety until your anxiety goes down.
I'm curious how that played into...
That's the whole purpose of doing those things again and again.
Yeah. How did that play into you co-producing the film? Was it really hard to get past something you thought was not quite up to your standard?
No, believe it or not, when I'm focused on film, it's like my disorder can become like a blessing. And it doesn't go that far, but it still manages to give me a sense of detail when I'm on my, when I'm doing my work, and focus. And it only happens when I'm, you know, it only becomes a problem when I'm doing mundane things like, oh, I'm about to leave my apartment. I got to walk back and check and see if the door is locked. Mm. You know, when I'm doing normal things like that, then it really comes into play. But when I'm doing my work, when I'm doing this kind of work, mm-hmm. It's sort of like an advantage.
I mean, earlier on, I didn't, as his friend, first and foremost, I didn't understand what he meant by saying I have obsessive compulsive disorder, because, you know, you're like, oh, okay, but let's hang out, let's spend some time together, let's talk about, you know, life. And I didn't really understand, you know, what my friend was going through, and only until he showed me video footage years later of that experience that he had in his life. But, you know, you don't realize what someone's going through until, like, sometimes you just have to see it. And unfortunately, like, for Jason, like, he, Jason lives with his parents, and they were such a tremendous help with his recovery.
Absolutely.
Now, Jason, you have done films and things like that, but, like, Anthony, is this your first, or have you done films before?
It's not my first. Basically, when Jason and I met in college, and when I got out of college, I was doing some work, and I realized very early on that, you know, I would need to get a day job in order to support my art, to support my love. And so while I was at work, my brain started to wander around, and I started thinking to myself, I wonder how blind people perceive art. And by asking myself that question, I just started doing some research, and I picked up a book, and the book was called Ordinary Daylight. And that book to me was really a profound piece of, you know, autobiography. The author was Andrew Potok, and it just really touched me. And I realized that not many blind people stories are told on television or film from the first person's perspective. So I set out to do a documentary called, you know, we're ordinary people. And mm-hmm. I reached out to the National Federation of the Blind in my community in New York City, and they were really welcoming and let me do a documentary about them, because I realized that I really needed to tell a story, tell a story about what the community needs. And mm-hmm. then after that project was completed, I can do straight off the canvas about visually impaired artists.
So this certainly was not your first bout of doing a documentary on people with disabilities.
No.
What made you choose blind people of all the disabilities?
Right.
There are a lot of them. There are. Talk about what that was that called to you.
The idea of a painting, and like the three or two-dimensional art. And I was just thinking about like artists and what if you lost your vision and how can you proceed? From just asking that curious question, I'm glad that I asked that question, because like I met some really wonderful artists, like really great artists here in New York City. And you know, the point of the documentary really is that it, you know, you can be an artist with no matter what. You know, art is not just about being able to see the work that you're creating. It's, you know, you can be able to create. It's about really, you know, using your soul to, you know, express yourself.
So can we talk about where this documentary was based out of? It was based out of, you chose to do particular School for the Blind in New York.
Yes.
Why did you choose there? Was it because they had an art program or why?
Sure. I have to backtrack because the main subject of the documentary is Elizabeth Castellano, and she is an amazing artist, and she was born visually impaired, and legally blind, and when she was 13 years old she had surgery, so she regained some vision. So from there she went to college and majored in art and art education. So she was a licensed teacher in New York City. Sometimes during production, life circumstances can completely change, and that would throw off the course of the documentary.
Right.
And what happened was Elizabeth had a workplace accident that forced her to retire. So, and this happened before we started to pick up the camera. So just in recap here, I had a back injury, my co-producer got OCD, and the star of the documentary had an accident, and I'm supposed to go film her in the classroom, but she's no longer in the classroom. Aww. So based on that situation, I really still wanted to show art in the classroom. So by doing extensive research, trying to find schools that had an art program, I found the Lavelle School for the Blind and Jessica Jones.
I see.
And it was just a wonderful blessing in this, you know, that took a very long time for me to be able to get into the classroom. And I'm glad that the school was able to give me permission, as well as the parents. And Jessica at the time was working with her students to put together an art show, and she was teaching her students all different types of art. And one thing that Jessica's students was interesting is that we couldn't interview her students, not because they didn't want to be interviewed, is most of them had verbal issues and cognitive issues. So Jessica used the art to teach her students life lessons that would help them, you know, in other areas of their life and studies. So we followed the classes all the way up until the art show that they had in their school for the community.
Hearing if any of them talked about this, you know, when I was growing up, I spent some time and knew others who spent time in elementary schools and junior high, and art just wasn't one of those things that you did when you were visually impaired. Like music, which is part of the arts, you could, you know, even I know somebody took a graphic arts class, but just painting and drawing wasn't a real typical thing. Do you feel that that's changed now, that there's more arts being offered to people who are visually impaired?
I think that there are certainly some challenges, not only for visually impaired, just in general. And that's something that I bring up in the documentary, that sometimes for just education in urban communities, that the arts is losing funding, and, you know, but you know, I one of the points of the film is that, you know, you can have students, you know, who are visually impaired and do art program. The only thing is, there has to be funding for the program, because I know that some districts, and, you know, like the arts are always the first one to be cut, because they're not going to cut math.
Yeah. Jason, what part did you play in co-producing this?
I played a role in almost every part, actually, because from the research and development phase, I was helping Anthony build ideas and help him weave together a storyline for this documentary. When we were out there, I was helping him film and giving him some of the footage to edit. And whenever he would edit some sequences together, we'd go over it. We'd look over and say, all right, does this make sense? What can fit here? What can we, how best can we improve the storyline in this sequence? And so I've basically had my hands in almost every aspect of this film, including getting it out there to the world. And what a blessing it's been to have been involved with this film. It's been an amazing journey, and it's still going on.
Who did the audio description?
Hi, Anthony. Hi. Now I did the audio description. I thought it was important to be able to with the subject. I was able to write it, and, you know, and I performed the audio description. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have any training or ask anybody how it should be done? Or how did you get a sense of what people would need to know who couldn't see the screen?
So I did watch some documentaries or some movies and just take some notes in terms of how the audio describer would talk slowly and, you know, describe what is on the screen. But I also, you know, we have we interviewed an executive at the Art Beyond site, which is an amazing nonprofit organization that works to help make museums more accessible, not only in New York City, but throughout the country and, you know, internationally. And, you know, Elizabeth Axel was really helpful in, you know, saying to me, Anthony, you don't need to hire an audio describer. I have faith in you. And, you know, Jason and I had been taking audio, like voiceover classes. And this is something that I've done acting classes, like in improv classes. That's what I do for fun, you know, when I'm not producing, directing. So this is the first documentary that I did audio description for, and I've heard a lot of positive feedback.
So I'm wondering what your experience was before this documentary, seeing art from visually impaired people. Like, did you have experience actually seeing visually impaired people's art, or was this kind of the first time you walked into it?
This was the first time I walked into it. This was me trying to, like, on just that question, going back to the initial idea of, I wonder how blind people perceive art. And then I reached out to Elizabeth, and she was such a kind person who's, would love to film your classroom. And she goes, sure, come on down. And unfortunately I wasn't able to do it before she had her accident, but this was really my first, I mean, of course I did research before doing starring the film, but I'm so, you know, once I met Elizabeth and we had, you know, she was really excited. I knew that I had to complete this journey of not only sharing this really interesting, or, you know, to sharing the passion of other artists, because I must, you know, it's so important how art can be therapeutic, you know.
Right.
To film Elizabeth painting as her therapy was therapeutic for myself and Jason.
You know, I think there's a lot more of that kind of thing going on now. There's, you know, the music therapy, art therapy. Do you have a sense, and I want to know how your thoughts about how people see, you know, blind or visually impaired artists, not in music, because obviously music, it speaks for itself. You can hear it, but you can see it. Yeah. And I'm sure you see the difference in, you know, if you just pull up a painting from someone. But what are your thoughts? Like, do you feel there is, that the public views people who are disabilities, you know, have visual disabilities differently when they're doing visual arts?
It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but once again, doing the research, I found recently, within the last couple months, I found a BBC newscast where they were talking about a blind artist. Mm-hmm. Actually, the blind artist was featured in our film as a cameo, but I didn't interview him. But I vividly remember the BBC saying that his seeming defect was actually helped him have a power. And I think that verbiage does not help the artist.
Because
first of all, it's not, you know, saying he's seemingly defective
yes,
is not, you know, respectful. And right. Second of all, his ability and talent to be able to touch an object and then draw that object is not a power. It's the man's, you know, gift. It's his talent, you know. And I think that is a problem, you know. Like, I highly doubt that you would call, you know, if you had the ability to draw something magnificent and you'd get it in a museum, that the teachers and that are going through the, you know, the museum or the docent or you know, the journalist walking through the museum would say, wow, you know, that artist has some great power with the brush. You know, so the reason why I bring that up is that, you know, it kind of hurts the artist, and it's, and that's what I tried not to do. So I tried to my best. While I did the audio description, I tried to keep my voice out and have the artist tell their own story.
Gotcha.
And I'd like to say that, you know, with what Anthony, just to kind of back up what he's saying, when we were filming our subjects, one of the common things we had noticed, that they had brought up rather, was that some students, especially when they're taking art and they're visually impaired, they would have an immense concern with, am I doing this wrong?
Yes, there's a sense of wrong and right, you know, isn't there?
Yes, it's been ingrained into them that you're doing it wrong. And if I go off the paper, I've messed up the whole thing, even in art therapy. And, you know, they would have to say, no, even if you go off the paper, you are, even if you go straight off the canvas, you're literally doing art. That's the point. You're participating in art. And they had to try to get students to understand that concept, that there wasn't really a wrong way of doing it. But that way of thinking was so much a part of their lives that, you know, asking that question became like a reflex for them, basically.
You know, and I wonder if that's part of teaching the student to think outside the box. And that's what art's all about in some ways, unless you're doing a realistic, you know, portrait or painting or drawing of someone. A lot of times there is that, you know, ambiguous art. And yes, if it's hard to get to bring that up, I would think, if you always have a sense of, am I doing this wrong? I wonder, you guys, where did this documentary show? Like, did you get to show it anywhere in particular?
Last year or earlier this year, we distributed it just on a local market just to get a feel of how it would be received in New York City. So it aired in Manhattan Neighborhood Network, Queens Public Television, Bronx Net, and CUNY Television. And it was well received. I wish I knew the numbers of how many people actually watched it. But I could tell you that on July 17th, we will be having a virtual screening at the ACB's convention, which will be happening in almost a week. We're very 2 weeks, excuse me, and really excited about that.
Is that only is that only happening at ACB's convention? Is it happening at NFB too?
No, we're not going to, I really tried to get it to NFB. It didn't make the schedule, but, gotcha. We're still working with NFB to see how we can get it out to, you know, their members. But as of now, we definitely have a screening on the 17th with the ACB's convention. So anybody listening to this would love to check it out. You just go to acb.org.
What did you want people to take from this documentary?
First of all, there's many lessons, and one would be that you can be visually impaired or have any type of disability and still be an artist. And not only that, but you can also be a teacher, and you can teach your passion to people who have a disability, who's blind or doesn't have a disability. I think that there is a lesson in the documentary that I hope that people will get, is that as long as proper modifications are put into place, people with disabilities can do any type of work. So I have a montage in the film where Elizabeth pretty much says that statement. And as she's talking, I have 5 pictures. The first picture is of a blind mechanic. The second picture is of a blind ballerina. The third picture is of a blind doctor. The fourth picture is of a blind judge. And the fifth picture is of a blind martial artist holding up a sword, you know, ready to kick some butt. So that's really one of the big messages of the film. You know, that, and also that not only can that that art can be therapeutic, and because of that therapeutic value, it's really important that museums are accessible to everyone in the community. So that's pretty much, you know, the message.
I would like to hear like what each one of you two took from the, you know, doing the document and knowing you set it up kind of in a position that you knew what you kind of wanted people to get from it.
Right. But
what did you two take from it that you hadn't kind of learned already?
Jason, you want to start with that?
Of course. One of the things I took was that art does not have to be a visual medium only. When we think of art, we tend to just think of, you know, a painting that you need to see with your eyes. This film shatters that misconception that you need physical sight in order to enjoy art. Art goes beyond, I would say, even our five senses sometimes, you know, all the time rather. And I think that in a way, this film shows not only that it is possible to have art, that people without physical sight can produce art, but it shows you the procedure of how they make that art. When you're watching that sequence with Elizabeth painting, you're seeing her as an artist. She's not just, you know, visually impaired. It's not just, oh, she's visually impaired artist. She's an artist, period. When you see her grab that brush and apply color to that painting, she's an artist. And this is one of the most important things I walked away with from that film, you know, and what a beautiful lesson to really bring to our community, you know. So I'm going to hand it over to Anthony to talk about, you know, what he learned from this incredible journey.
I think the most important thing I walked away with are lifelong friends that, you know, because I think that Elizabeth and Jessica and Sarah and Elizabeth Axel, really the journey to get this project completed was so long. And you know, I know we only have an hour, but like we went through a lot, Sam, to produce this. And Elizabeth has been so kind throughout the entire process. And so what did I take away from this is, you know, when Jason talks about how she is an artist, you know, when she's painting, she basically said, I'm going to be an artist to the day I die. And to me, that is so inspirational. And I think that was the motivation to, I'm like, all right, I'm an artist to the day I die too. And we're going to complete this story, guys. You know, like it's been a long journey. I mean, from almost being laid off at my day job to then having to find another day job to us both, you know, losing members of the family to, you know, just life, a lot has changed over the last 10 years, but we've, you know, worked on this film to hopefully be able to, you know, share it with the world. And so, yeah, that's pretty much what I've gotten out of it.
I wonder, I'm just an opinion of, I don't know what I really want you to say to this, or if you do know anything to say, but it's kind of one of the, my thoughts are, you know, sometimes when I see artists do art, disabled or otherwise, I see them do like they'll hold their own art show. And now that in itself is not unusual or anything else, because you see people holding their own art shows if they have a disability or if they don't. But sometimes what strikes me is that when people have disabilities, they form their shows. They might form a big show with all artists of, you know, who have disabilities. And I always wondered about that, if that actually pigeonholes them or if it's even tougher on them as an artist to do that, because So what are you saying? Are you saying you're not as good as a general artist or person out there that is doing the same thing you are? And it occurred to me that I don't know if they're doing it because, you know, they're afraid that the general public doesn't see them that way, or it's just something I had thought. And I wonder if you guys had any insight or thoughts on that.
We did go to one of Elizabeth's, shows that she did. Mm-hmm. That was our first shoot of our first day of production. And, she was showing us a painting she did of her daughter. And, she turns to us and she says, "I don't normally put, these types of paintings in my shows because, you know, she likes to do like more of a I'm sorry, I can't remember the word right now. But she likes to do different styles of painting because she feels like doing a portrait would reveal herself as a visually impaired artist, so people would judge it that she's not as good." So it's something that Elizabeth certainly. It certainly crosses her mind. Elizabeth, does have shows, you know, in her community with artists that are in the regular community that aren't disabled. So, you know, I understand your question. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a positive side to that type of workshop, mm-hmm. like I'm sorry, screen art show. But then I don't, because I'm not an artist myself. I hear where you're coming from. How it, you know, the long term effects of being labeled as that, and you know,
right.
You know,
I think also for one of the other things we filmed was the art show at the Lavelle School for the Blind. Mm-hmm. And they had an art show from students with multiple different disabilities. And there were multiple different students showing their work, showing all their kinds of work at that art show. And I think, you know, for me personally, I can only speak for myself personally, that made it more powerful because you got an insight into that person, into that artist themselves. A piece of themselves was on display at that art show. And it gave such a variety of perspectives that it was like walking into a Manhattan art gallery. And you look at this, and you look at some of the artists' pieces by different artists, and you say, well, what were they trying to say through this art piece? Mm-hmm. You walk into here, and it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, but you get such a variety of insights. And so, you know, for me, I don't think it would be problematic for the sole reason that it's not seeing them as visually impaired artists, but seeing them as a collective of different people putting different messages on display. And I think it adds more of a variety to that show, you know, and I think that's what they're kind of looking for. You know, that's what I would believe that they're looking for, you know, because when I went to that art show, I'll never forget it. When I looked at some of the work that kids did and talking to them about their pieces, that their pieces were very personal to them. Mm. So there were some of them were inspired by people who made a difference in their lives. So I would say that having a variety of people is probably a better characteristic to go for because you get to really get a sense of those people as individual artists. You know, it's all about that person, you know, giving a piece of themselves on display, you know? So I think that them working with other artists, you know, wouldn't be too much of a problem.
I wonder if you guys just, in your personal experience, you know, as you said, Anthony, art is one of the first things to be cut oftentimes in schools. How important do you feel like it is to have art in a school?
Wow. I mean, okay. When I was in high, I'm going to say when I was in high school, I took art in high school during the first semester. And then from second semester on, I had no art. And that's when, like, okay, so I went to like a technical school, mm-hmm. and which was, at the time I was not happy about it, because like I have this creative spirit and I'm working with screwdrivers, and I learned that I will never be a technician after high school. But it was such a blessing, because I met, besides Jason, because I didn't meet Jason in high school, some of my best friends, in life. Arts is so important, because, you know, it's a way to express yourself and just to get a creative outlet for someone who's not, in my case, not happy being a technician with my screwdriver. Mm. You know, I could have dropped out, but I didn't, because I waited, and I knew that once I got to college that I was free, and I was grateful that my parents said, okay, we'll pay for your education, you could take what you want, but please just choose something that will get you a job afterwards. And I said, I'm going into media. They said, oh, okay, well, we still support you. but yeah, no, I think it's really important. And you know, I'm happy that I actually work for the public schools in New York City, mm-hmm. not as a teacher, but on the admin side. So at least I'm somewhere in the mix of it. But yeah, mm-hmm. I am so pro arts in the classroom. Can I ask you a question before we continue? Because I was just curious about something.
Sure.
Okay, so Sam, like, tell me how you got this radio show started. I'm just fascinated. I saw your website. I had to be on your show, and I'm really excited to be here. And thank you for having us.
And well, we appreciate you coming on. You are the people that make the show go, because without you guys, we don't have anybody to talk to. So I can't take the credit for starting the show. The show was started a long time ago by somebody who was named Martha, and she was a wheelchair user, and she started it because she was inspired by a conference. And so when she started it, she ran it for 10 years, and I was her engineer. And then after that, she stepped down and gave it to me. And so then I have been running it since, and have brought Charlene aboard. And, you know, it's been a fun ride. It's you learn something every day from people like you. And this was a lot of fun being able to watch your documentary. So thank you for that. And I think that contributes to, you know, society and what people need to see for different disabilities, that they can do a lot of different things. And there's probably not enough of that out there. No. In a good light. But also, I hope you guys can get the documentaries, you know, pushed around in various places, because I think sometimes they get caught in the, you know, the artsy documentaries. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And then they kind of sit there, and then enough people that need to see them don't get to see them. So hopefully you'll be able to show the documentary in many other places and have that be a success. I'm wondering, did you have anything else, any other comments in regards to the document theory? Is there anything that you wanted to make sure people knew about?
Sure. We're still working on our website. Until we have the website up and running, you can follow us on Twitter at Straight Canvas. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/straightcanvas. You know, this film we've been working on for over 10 years, and it has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. And you know, when I got out of college, I wanted to get a master's degree, and you know, through this film, I got my master's degree. And you know, I'm very grateful to have a partner like Jason to come on this ride.
Well, congratulations to both of you in regards to this documentary, and thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. This has been Disability and Progress. The views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I've been the host of this show. Jackson Buck was my engineer. Charlene Dahl is my research team. We've been speaking with Anthony Saldana and Jason Figuera.
There you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Figuera. Okay. I am so sorry. Before saying. And they came on to talk about their documentary that was they've been doing, Straight Off the Canvas. And if people want to see Straight Off the Canvas, how can they see it, you guys? Besides ACB, can they see it anywhere else?
Okay. Well, I don't have an answer to that yet. Like I said, you can follow us on at Straight Canvas, and we will have more news upcoming. Until then, you can, like I said, you can you know, see it at the ACB convention on July 17th.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we appreciate you guys being here. Good night.